The day before, right? Tomorrow? Today's the day before tomorrow? Tomorrow is Ram Nomi. This morning we'll be discussing text 7, Hanuman's prayers to Lord Ramachandra. And chapter 19, text, a canto 5. Commentary says that 7 and 8 are elaborating on 6. So bear that in mind as we hear. We'll hear that explicitly expressed shortly. Translation of text 7. One cannot establish a relationship, a friendship, with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramachandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that we, uncivilized inhabitants of the forest, have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In a prayer to Krishna expressing her feeling, Srimati Kunti Devi called him Akinchana Gochara. The prefix a means not, and Kinchana means something of this material world. One may be very proud of his prestigious position, material wealth, beauty, education, and so on, but although these are certainly good qualifications in material dealings, they are not necessary for achieving friendship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who possesses all these material qualities is expected to become a devotee. And when he actually does, the qualities are properly utilized. Those who are puffed up with a high birth, wealth, education, and personal beauty, Janmaishvarya Shuta Shri, unfortunately do not care for developing Krishna consciousness, nor does the Supreme Personality of Godhead care about all these material qualifications. The Supreme Lord is achieved by devotion. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. One's devotion and sincere desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the only qualifications. Rupa Goswami has also said that the price for achieving God's favor is simply one's sincere eagerness to have it. Laulyam ekam mulyam. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is said, Kolavecha sevakera deka bhagya simha sima brahma shiva kandeyara dekiya mahima dhane jane panditye krishna nahi pai kevala bhaktira vasa vasha chaitanya gosai. Translation: behold, the great fortune of the devotee Kolavecha. Lord Brahma and Shiva shed tears upon seeing his greatness. One cannot attain Lord Krishna by any amount of wealth, followers, or learning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is controlled only by pure devotion. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very sincere devotee whose name was Kolavecha Sridhar, and whose only business was to sell pots made of the skin of banana trees. Whatever income he had, he used 50% for worship of Mother Ganges, and with the other 50%, he provided for his necessities. On the whole, he was so very poor that he lived in a cottage that had a broken roof with many holes in it. He could not afford brass utensils, and therefore he drank water from an iron pot. Nevertheless, he was a great devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a typical example of how a poor man with no material possessions can become a most exalted devotee of the Lord. The conclusion is that one cannot attain shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Gosai through material opulence, semicolon, that shelter is attainable only by pure devotional service. Anya bilashata shunyam jnana karma jnavratam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktiruttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. So, I'm going to go now to Jiva Goswami, who will help us understand the import of this message. And Jiva Goswami, in his commentary, it's from Priti Sandarbha, but he takes the same message from Priti Sandarbha and places it in his Krama Sandarbha. So he makes reference in text 7 commentary to text 6. In his summary, two sentences summarizing 6, the pastime is not material. It does not arise from attachment to desire. It arises for showing special mercy to his special devotees. And the verse itself says, Rama Paramatma, the best friend of the devotee. So the emphasis is in Priti Sandarbha, that this exchange, this quality of Krishna or Rama, that Bhaktivatsala, he's very particular, although he's Paramatma. That's a nice understanding from Bhagavad Gita. Samoham sarvabhuteshu na me dveshosti na priyahat. So that's Paramatma. And then the other half is, yet those who approach him with love, his Bhagavan feature becomes exhibited because of their love for him, and then he reciprocates in a special way. Different than Paramatma, who is neutral, he reciprocates in a special way. I mean, Bhagavan also gives liberation to demons that he kills and so forth, but he shows his affection in a different way. But for the devotees, his affection is very, very special. So, you know, that the previous verse was, well, the rest of the translation, otherwise he should not have become bewildered by a woman and should not have given up Lakshmana. So it was a pastime of special dealing with his devotees. We discussed yesterday. simultaneously there's some Dharma principle involved, but the higher ruling principle for Ram is reciprocating with his special devotees in a loving manner. And so here's the translation. This is again Bhanu Swami's rendering. It's identical in both Jiva Goswami's and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. He just adjusts, it seems to me at least, he adjusts the translation from Prabhupada's translation to match their commentary. So here's the translation. The Lord is not pleased by one's birth in a great dynasty, by wealth, by eloquence, by intelligence, or by bodily features, because Rama, the older brother of Lakshmana, accepted as friends us, forest dwellers, who are devoid of those assets. So then, the first line of his commentary. In order to reinforce this meaning, that's number 6, two verses speak of the supreme position of the highest sweetness predominated by showing mercy because of devotees' bhakti alone. So this is Priti Sandarbha, and Priti Sandarbha is focusing on the goal, prayojana, the ultimate attainment, and the ultimate attainment is loving exchange, and that's this rasa or prema exchange that's ruling Lord Ramachandra's activities with his devotees. So the previous verse was with Sita and Lakshmana, now it's with Vanaras, us, who don't have material qualification, but he accepted us as friends. So, Madhurya, Sakya, now he's saying friends. Now, Lakshmana's mood was of a servant, so we can say Dasya. But there was an intimacy in that Dasya that looked more like friendship, but it was the predominating mood. So similarly, Hanuman's mood is a mood of service. And you'll hear in the commentary, it could be that Hanuman is speaking on behalf of the Vanaras. And another picture is, it's Sugriva, because Sugriva had the friendship very, very explicitly. And Hanuman was service very, very explicitly, but an intimacy with both. That's the sweetness. Remember this depiction of where is Ayodhya in the hierarchy of Haridam, in its topmost. And that topmost is because of the sweetness, or the intimacy, or the very special affection shown between Ram and his devotees. It's not just that he had a mother and father and brothers that Narayana doesn't have. There's this particular feature of sweetness. So again, two verses speak of the supreme position of the highest sweetness predominated by showing mercy because of the devotee's bhakti alone. So here's the rest of the commentary. Rama is not pleased with birth from a great person, or with beauty, or by caste, because he made friends with us who had been rejected by birth, since he was satisfied with our bhakti, which took the form of looking for Sita, his highest devotee. He was the elder brother of Lakshmana, qualified with all good qualities and markings, and gave joy to Sumitra, although we were qualified as servants, he accepted us as friends, playing with us. And then he and Sugriva can be the person indicated in this verse. But no, it's us, it's plural. Then here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Short. This verse explains the causeless mercy of Rama, full of all good qualities. Janma, mahataha, means birth in a good family. Mahata can be related to tosha hetu, that is a cause of satisfaction of Ram. Rama, the older brother of Lakshmana, who had all good qualities, in full accepted Lakshmana as a servant, but Rama accepted us as friends. Though we have no good qualities and are devoid of good birth. The speaker is Sugriva, or Hanuman speaking on behalf of Sugriva, however you like. So going back to a starting point of this whole discussion, who can understand another person, one who has intimate association and a loving dealing? And then things about that other person become revealed simply through that intimate association and loving dealing. Things that other people won't understand. It's not accessible. Without giving worldly examples, it's very easy to understand. So Hanuman is such a person. Shukadeva Goswami, similarly, because it's said about Shukadeva Goswami, he's like Super Soul. He understands things. Narada, similarly. And Valmiki, he was gifted by Brahma to actually see and experience the pastimes and understand the heart and inner feelings of the personalities in Ram's Leela. I mean, that's Super Soul function. The witness. So Hanuman understands. It's authoritative about Ram. And overall, the Bhagavatam wants us to understand the nature of Krishna. Before we get to the 10th canto, we have the earlier cantos. This is 5th canto, and then later 9th canto about Lord Ramachandra. And the Bhagavatam wants us to understand the Bhagavan feature in its highest is the sweetness, and the sweetness manifests in loving exchanges that are not worldly. They were being cautioned, as mentioned in Prabhupada's purport with Queen Kunti, not to rest, you know, it's a false ego thing. If there's piety, then there's fruits of piety, and then one may become proud of the fruits of piety. And it's just like, that's 1, 2, 3. And the heart, only the heart that's pure, will not be enamored by the fruits of piety and be trying to become the enjoyer of the fruits of piety, or try to accumulate more, so that I can be, you know, proud of myself, or a better enjoyer, or a combination of worldliness. It's hard to get rid of because it springs from false ego. And false ego is hard to get rid of. We heard that about specifically with Kara, most tenacious. What to speak of Ravan. So, through sound, through Hanuman's sound vibration, glorifying Lord Ramachandra, the potency is there for our consciousness to be elevated to that position of shelter. Or as we've been discussing a little bit, being touched by the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead through sound. And by the touch of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead through sound, we're becoming purified. I mean, we're like difficult case. A lot of purification to go through, but it's Kali Yuga and welcome. So there's a regular hearing with faith from proper source and hearing. I've shared with several devotees, as well as I shared with this one of the methods of reaching out to people through email groups. A really nice statement by Bhaktisiddhanta I really like. His use of the English language is uncommon. And it's spoken about him, and it's true. His use of language is very precise. Now, many of us use language in vernacular and it's not so precise. You know, what do you mean? But when he uses language, it's really clear. It's like, from a dictionary, you have to look it up. So he uses this word efface. Now, what does that mean? We don't use that commonly, efface. Efface, dictionary definition, is wearing away or eliminating. And it gives the example effacing the date on a coin. So when coins rub together over a long period of time, the particular stamp on the coin, like the date, may be effaced. And after some time, it's not even there at all. That's like effaced completely. So he uses that example to say that the chanting of the holy name results in, without offense, results in the gross, the subtle body, the two coverings of the soul, the gross and subtle bodies of the soul, to become effaced. And then the soul itself can be seen. Because that's what comes after cleansing. And then after the soul becomes cleansed and perceived, conscious perception, pratyaksha, right, of agamam dharmyam. So when the soul becomes perceived, then next comes the Lord of the heart, and then the next comes the original form of Krishna. So it's a progression that arises from the effacement of the coverings, gross and subtle. So it's not like you have to get out a paring knife and peel off your body and now you can see yourself. That's not the method. It's the purification method. But, so that's what we're doing by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing the words of... It's Shukadeva Goswami narrating what Hanuman says in Kim Purusha Varsha. As part of an explanation of the Vedic cosmology, a picture of the Virat Rupa. But, so there's, it goes detail and detail. And even when describing Virat Rupa, we're hearing the very special quality of Ram, or the personality of Godhead, that is his loving dealings, affectionate, loving, merciful dealings with his devotees. And it's not only with the Vanaras, there's so many other examples of how Ram accepted anybody. that short list, Vibhishan and the squirrel and Jatayu and, yeah, anybody. And on one basis, their devotion to him. And to him, that was everything. Not the material qualification or disqualification. Like when Vibhishan came to surrender, there was all this, well, maybe he's motivated. He knows that Ravana is going to lose and he wants to become the king. So he's here to, you know, be on the good side. So he'll become the next king. And Hanuman says, well, even if that is his desire, he's taking shelter from Ram. So as far as I'm concerned, Ram has already accepted him. And we should. And then Ram said, that's right. Even once. So that's like a mystery. Even once, with your whole heart, taking shelter of the personality of Godhead, you're ever well-wisher. That's Prabhupada's phrase. I will give protection. That's Ram. So overlooking material qualification, overlooking material disqualification, not attracted to the brahminical quality, but attracted to truth. That was what we heard yesterday. You know, the sat feature that's within a brahmana, that's special. One who knows Brahman, that's special. And such persons are very dear to the personality of Godhead Bhagavan in whatever his features. And that's a mystery. For worldly people, they don't understand that mystery. And, you know, we're slowly waking up to that mystery by the hearing process again and again and again and again. And then practical application of the activities of bhakti and getting cleansed and gradually realizing it over a period of time, like the rising of the sun in the morning. Let's see if there's some questions for discussion. Nice topic.
I have a question, Guru Maharaj. It may be contradictory, or I'm trying to understand the principle. Multiple things I'm having in my mind. It's about the process of surrender, or process of surrendering the false ego, or the other aspect is regular practice of devotion service, like regular hearing or regular reading or thing like that. So when a person is not at the stage of not able to do regularly, or not at the stage of doing as per the standard, is it okay? I mean, my understanding I have is just let the people connect first, like, you know, connect to the process of hearing or deity worship, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then can come to the, you know, whatever standard. Let them gain their strength and come.
Yeah, faith. And little footing, whatever is doable.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to understand that.
That's it.
When we hear the regular, you know, I'm having difficulty in that. Like, not at the regular level.
One may not start at that stage of regular anything. Hearing the holy name even once. Just touching the Srimad Bhagavatam once. Etc. It's beginning. Thank you, prasadam once. It's a beginning. And then more prasadam, more hearing, more touching of Bhagavatam.
So maybe related to that, if someone is like, you know, I see devotees are enthusiastic, they want us to come to the level, you know,
it's no harm.
Surrender, you know, surrender Prabhu, or give up your false ego Prabhu, or
okay, you know, there's different ways of encouraging people. That's, you know, maybe not so productive, but, you know, it's one way of encouraging people. Depends. Some people, you know, it helps to get a little kick in the back. Sometimes. Different, you know.
We don't have anything online yet, Guru Maharaj.
Guru Maharaj, this may be my standard question of how to, but just the heart is, it's very soothing when we hear this very beautiful, what is really needed, the embodied verse. It's just the our love, that's all we need, but we are not there. My particular question is, in connection to what Prabhu is sharing, we know the standard, we are not there. So I myself have the awareness, but when it comes from someone else, some other devotees or through the situation, it becomes a little hard to accept. Probably that's part of the purification.
Hard to accept what? The fact that you're not there yet? Or their words that says you're not there yet? Or what?
I think it's a mix of both, Guru Maharaj. In those circumstances, it feels, I know it might be false ego, it says, okay.
Yeah, of course. Aman etvam.
Never mind, I can never reach, I can never please anyone.
No, that's a bit more of ignorance. That's denying the mercy by those, that thought or those words or that mood. It's blocking the sun. That's ignorance. Avidya.
Yeah, my particular question, Maharaj, is it better in those moments to go back to these passages, these messages, and hear, does it help?
Whatever works, then do that. So that's one thing. It's not like better. There may be 100 other betters. And at different times, my experience is, at different times, different resources or impetuses or, you know, forces to help us go forward are, you know, stronger at one time and another thing is stronger at another time. So whatever works. Emerging from all of that is, Krishna is very kind and he's my shelter. And as soon as one turns to the light, that darkness is dispelled. So whatever it helps. So coming to the position where shelter. I'm safe. Even I'm, you know, broken. Or conditioned or covered or something. I have shelter. And stay sheltered. Stay, you know, with gratitude. Somebody shared something with, not exactly on topic, but it's related to your question. Somebody shared something with me. There's a 93-year-old man that just recovered from coronavirus. And the very last day of his recovery, he was put on a ventilator. And in addition to whatever else they were doing, they gave him a bill for the use of the ventilator. And they were uncomfortable because the man is 93 years old and how is he going to pay this big bill for the use of the ventilator? That was the doctors were feeling, you know, they were uncomfortable about giving the bill. And then the man started crying. And they, you know, is there some way we can help you to cover the bill? And his crying was not about the bill. He said, I believe I can take care of the bill. I'm crying because now I can breathe. And how can I repay the bill for all the air that I've been breathing for 93 years? I'm unable to repay. that's the mood of gratitude, because now he can breathe again. He was like pneumonia-like symptoms. He couldn't breathe. Now he can breathe again. So how I can repay for that ability to breathe, which I was just taking for granted. It's not the ventilator bill. So we struggle with, you know, proximate stuff. But the big picture is, we have shelter. We're being cared for in so many ways. Let that awaken. And there is shelter. And it's, you know, whatever my incompetency level is, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it took him, then it took me 93 years to realize I'm deep in debt, indebted to the supplier of oxygen.
Guru Maharaj, my question is actually similar to hers, and you might have already answered it. But I feel there's faith in hearing.
There's faith in hearing. That's, you're speaking of yourself now.
I'm speaking for myself, yeah. And I feel like I'm hearing and hearing regularly.
Good.
But it doesn't seem like I'm going anywhere.
How thick is the covering?
Very.
Is it thin or thick or?
Very thick.
Very thick.
Very, very thick.
So I take responsibility for my free will choices that have resulted in a really thick covering. And however long it takes, because I have faith in the cleansing process, I'm going to continue cleansing, 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 however long it takes. Now, if progress is modest or minimal, not negligible, that would not be true, but you know, where you were some time ago and where you are today is, there's distance that's been covered. And how that's affecting, that distance that's been covered is affecting people around you. Starting with family members and others. You know, and the other family members may be also covered and going through whatever they're going through in their, you know, spiritual life. But distance has been covered, so keep going. However long it takes. And if it's slow, then some of these exercises that were suggested at Vyasa Puja time, what are my values, and are the decision I'm making aligning with my values, and you know, where is this coming from, this choice that I'm making, decisions that I'm making? What's, you know, it will help the application part. It'll help self-honesty part. It'll help moving forward part to be aligned with what my values really are. And, you know, one will start to see, gosh, more than you're seeing today, which is more than you were seeing a couple years ago, I'm quite conditioned. That doesn't mean, oh, throw my hands up in the air, what's useless, because I'll never get there. But part of recognizing that I'm conditioned is purification. Because before we didn't realize we were conditioned. We didn't know what those anarthas were. We didn't even know what anartha was, what to speak of my favorite ones. So it's progress. And then you just keep progressing, and with that sound comes the application of the sound, that is applying things that you've understood about the process and about yourself and you know, whatever it is. You don't just mechanically ring a bell and make an offering. You offer with love and devotion. You're not just et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not just chant, but I chant with attention. I don't just associate with devotees, but I try to avoid offenses when associating with devotees. Try to, etc. It flows. It's the maturing of bhakti. Let me see this, here's a spirit soul, including the people that may be a little bit abrasive. They're a spirit soul. Let me try to see like that. Better get back to my chanting more. You reach out to give Krishna consciousness to new people or other people, or engage in discussion groups and reading, and it starts from chanting, and then it leads into other things. It's other forms of purification through the bhakti process. Including giving what you have to others will help you appreciate what you have. Although it's, in a very immature stage. It'll help it mature through gratitude and exercising it. That's our bhakti process. Stay with it. Whatever the shortcomings are. Because Krishna is kind. And you're just, to whatever degree you're regularly hearing, you're connecting. That touch of Krishna is there. However long it takes. There's not some other shelter. That's another important realization. Just like without breathing, you can't live. So when you have oxygen, thank God for oxygen. What other shelter is there? There isn't. So let me take full shelter, or let me strive for that full shelter because I'm distracted. So let me strive for full shelter. And accept my position, I'm distracted. Strive for full shelter. Keep going. With faith in Guru and Krishna and the bhakti process. Okay?
Some online questions, Guru Maharaj. It is from Prakash Narayan Govindan Prabhu. His question is, how to perform devotional service purely, even once or forever?
Even once?
Or forever.
Or forever.
Like Hanuman and the Vanaras, so Lord Ramchandra accepts me too, in spite of all my lack of qualification.
Well, Prabhupada gives one answer. Is Prabhupada gives us this very simple method of chanting. Krishna, please accept me. Now, it's not that Krishna is unwilling to accept us. So the appeal, please accept me, is more at our heart level to want to be accepted by the one who is already accepting. So how to come to that stage, even once or forever, is open the heart to Krishna wants to give. Krishna, please accept me. Krishna wants to accept us. But we're, distracted. So Krishna, please accept me. It's opening the heart to mercy. Effort and mercy. Two things.
And there's a request from Akhiladhara Prabhu from Indore. If it is possible, I want to hear the pastime of Lord Rama giving up Mother Sita after returning to Ayodhya.
Well, that's another day. That's a long story.
Yeah. And then Amara Mataji asks, how important it is to perform the elements of sadhana at a particular time as compared to doing with sincerity? I'm asking...
Why? Do them both. Why one versus the other? I'm asking because...
I'm able to do sadhana, but lack time management due to various reasons.
So work on time management so you do both. Don't, not recommended to do this pan scale. Is it more important this or that? You'll strive for, they're both beneficial. Sincerity is most important. And time management is also important. Anybody knows, anybody that's practiced bhakti for a while knows, early morning is best. And to have early morning, you have to take rest on time so you can do early morning. And so you don't waste time at night and you take rest in early morning so that the next evening you're tired because you did the early morning that morning. So you can rest early that evening so you can rise early the next morning. So in regulation is a mode of goodness feature. Supposing I'm not so much in the mode of goodness, then cultivate it on the strength of bhakti. Not just, you know, because it's good, so I'll cultivate goodness. And the strength of bhakti. And it's more powerful than just trying to be good. It's sustainable, too. So not one versus the other.
And Sthira Mataji asks, you mentioned Ayodhya is the highest planet in Haridham. Is there some place I can refer to the sequence of hierarchy? I watched the video, but was not clear for me.
Which video is she referring to?
I think the planetorium.
Planetarium? Okay. Okay. So, I'd have to research to find out where it's discussed, but she can research to find out where it's discussed. She has resource, you know, research material and do the research. But again and again and again, Ayodhya Dham is the topmost of Haridham. I mean, many of those artists' rendering of the structure of the universe always will show Ayodhya at the top of Haridham. So no, specifically where that's referenced, I'd have to look it up. But she can look it up.
Sure. And this is from Ankita.
One way is go to that poster that shows Ayodhya Dham. There's probably something along the margin that says the scriptural reference why is way up there. That's one quick way.
And Ankita Mataji asks, I had a question from yesterday. Why did Rama left Sita in ashram even after Agni Parikshi? Is it just Leela?
Yes.
How to understand?
Well, it's both. It's Dharma and Leela. The Dharma is the ideal king places the well-being of his citizens above his own happiness. And the Leela is Vipralamba Bhav. And making arrangement for Sita to depart. Because she entered into the earth.
Yeah.
Out of separation. And then, so it's Leela.
Thank you, Maharaj. And a question from Rajeshwara Pranamataji. I try to engage in a lot of hearing and reading in association with the devotees. I try to understand the teachings. However, I'm very hesitant to do the introspection in me. And so I left with what are my anathas and how do I go beyond this tendency?
Well, keep doing what you're doing. Attentively, and then gradually a willingness to introspect will come. The bhakti process is cleansing. And as it matures the bhakti seed into a bhakti creeper, that introspection tendency will arise. We understand that, like all this other discussion, I'm not there yet, which is what you're saying, but I know it's valuable, so how do I get there? Keep on with the bhakti process, you'll get there. And you'll hear it again and again. It's important. So then, okay. For the pleasure of Krishna, I'll take a look inside, see what's going on, so I can improve. So I can come before Krishna and I'm more pleasing to Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. It's a clarification and a question about when I'm with the book, studying and discussing Shastra or just hearing, there is like this feeling of full connection, in one sense, at least not distracted. There are other times when just the, there's a lot of memories that from the mind, there's just so much memories. It keeps coming out. It feels like very irrelevant and...
Feels like very irrelevant.
Irrelevant, and it's not even important at this time at all. And one thing that I've heard is to just tolerate.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to ask, tolerance means not indulging in them and just...
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
additional to tolerating is two things. This is purification. There's memories stored in my memory bank. And the force of time, tick, 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 is moving the subtle feature of my existence. And here comes the memory of something that's in the storage bank. And it has to do with something that's back there. And so it's something that's back there. It's not me. It's a memory of something that's back there. It's another feature of illusion. And so, and thank you, Krishna. You're making it possible for me to become purified. It's being accelerated. The purification is accelerated by the bhakti process. So there may be more memories than it would have been slower if you hadn't been engaged in the bhakti process. You wouldn't even know it's a memory. It just comes out as an action because you're prompted by some past involvement with material energy and you just repeat it, you know, with dull head. So it's purification. In addition to tolerance, it's not real. And it's purification. Now, let me, acknowledging those three things, what tolerance doesn't just mean I grit my teeth. Tolerance means I'm going to give my attention to Sat. I'm not going to pay attention to Asat because it's Asat. I'm going to pay attention to Sat. And that's what you do when those things come. And however many, over a period of time, it diminishes because there's purification process has become gradually effective. And so that subtle feature has now made the subtle body more clean. The mind becomes cleansed and it becomes less frequent because there's the cleansing has already taken place.
Just a little bit more, a further thought for me. These memories are sometimes so silly, they don't even make any sense. And when I think about it later on, I feel like there's so much clutter inside. And will these be replaced by Krishna consciousness?
Yeah.
Because I end up thinking, what if I have to leave my body now? These are so many clutter inside.
So if Krishna wants you to leave your body, you're going to leave your body. And so you go, maybe you'll go to a better body or something. But, you know, the subtle body will go with you, and that's where the memories are coming from. So changing a body doesn't help. Subtle body will go with you, or it'll carry you. So if you leave your body, impetus to let me do more cleaning, that is, more of the same, you know, more of the hearing and chanting and other forms of devotional service because I don't want to depart with all this clutter. And, you know, higher than that. And that's like, I want a better birth next time than the one I got this time. It's, I want to come to the place so that you focus on the goal. With wherever you are, you focus on the goal and stay focused on the goal and the means to reach the goal, and that will help you get to the goal, which is you know, the negative is the clutter is reduced or clutter's gone. That's this effacing message again. Both the gross and subtle body. Just stop having an effect. They become effaced. They're still there, but their effect becomes effaced. Just gone. Reduced. And gone. You still have one. So keep going. But, you know, then take the means to get there. However long it takes. Okay.
One
more.
I think two questions. One is from Srinivas Chamati Prabhu. Maharaj, by Chetodarpana Majanam, we purify ourselves and invite Krishna into our heart. But Krishna, already in the heart, through Paramatma feature, what's the difference between realization of Paramatma and house Krishna?
It's realization. Yes, Krishna is already in the heart, but we're not realizing it. So that Krishna appears in the heart means we realize it. Our attention has gone to Krishna instead of, you know, to dull matter. That's Krishna appears in the heart.
And Hemangi Mataji asked this question. How can gratitude not seen as weakness in certain trying situations?
In certain trying situations. Well, it depends on what the gratitude is being directed towards. I mean, ultimately gratitude towards Krishna. Here's a trying situation. Thank you very much, Krishna, for this trying situation. Because the tribulation is helping me to take more shelter of you. I'm feeling very grateful to you. I mean, I don't like the tribulation because it's tribulation, but I like the intensification of my taking shelter of you. So like, you know, Kunti's prayer, for example. Then a lot depends upon the person, the nature of the tribulation and that person's relationship with Krishna. What's the role of gratitude in the course of, you know, those considerations? Prabhupada ki jai.